everybody. I'm C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tomtit and Baobab live
from New York. Welcome back to Tomtit and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
This week's show is especially exciting, for us at least, because we are taping live from New York City and will be joined later by Jen's niece, Sydney, and my mom, Janice.
And it is also super exciting because we might have crazy spontaneous noises.
Well, not really spontaneous. Yeah, we are taping
spontaneous
from,
to us.
Yeah, we're taping from a New York City hotel room, which means that it's insanely loud.
Mm-hmm. There's drilling out one window.
Yeah, there's a police station out the other.
Yeah. We're on rolly chairs that keep, like, rolling by themselves.
All the excitement of New York. I also feel like everybody on Earth is in New York this weekend because it's beautiful. It's, you know, it beautiful April weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's actually been very nice, I would say. So
I think it would be nice with fewer people.
Sure. I mean, everything's nicer with fewer people. But we got tickets to go see Sweeney Todd on Broadway tonight.
For the second time.
Second time for us. My mom and Sydney have not seen it, which is really why we're here. Mm-hmm. Sutton Foster's still in her role, and she was wonderful the first time, so she better be wonderful the second
but
time.
Josh Groban is not in it this time.
Maybe the next guy's even better. Who
and
knows?
Maybe
people won't be standing up screaming for Josh Groban like they were in the middle of the other one.
But hey, heads up, tip to people, if you are into Broadway and you're coming to New York, we got in line for Rush tickets this morning at, what did we get in line, like 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
And by 10 o'clock, we had four tickets that were each like $40.
Yeah, very
so
nice.
So it's a good deal or, if you want to wake up early.
Or we should cut that whole part out because I don't want people taking our Rush tickets, Jen. But
our listeners, you deserve our Rush tickets.
Well, you deserve your own Rush tickets. Don't.
You know what else you deserve, listeners? You deserve a president who is not a rapist.
Jen worked the polls this week, people. Jen, you want to talk about your poll?
I do. I worked the polls last week, Pennsylvania primary, which is a closed primary. That means that if you're independent or third party, you can't vote. You can only vote if you're Democrat or Republican. The turnout was super low. Yeah. I mean, it's always low for primaries, but it was especially low this year.
Well, everybody knows who's going to be president. That's
okay.
The thing, right?
Well, all that I'm saying is that people need to turn out and vote, and I think everybody who listens to our show is a voter. I'm just going to assume, giving you all the benefit of the doubt, that you are voters.
Do you know, we haven't even talked about this, do you know what I think happened this week? And I have not verified this yet, but I'm very excited to listen.
What?
Do you know that Joe Biden, I think, went on Howard Stern this week?
I know that Joe Biden went on Howard Stern this week because Joe Biden told Howard Stern that he would debate Trump.
On Howard Stern?
He said it on Howard Stern, and then Trump was like, yeah, meet me at the courthouse after my trial, and we'll do it tonight.
Oh,
and I was
God,
like, oh, my God.
But we have not talked about this because, as listeners should know, I'm a giant Howard Stern fan, and I've been telling Jen how great it is.
Yeah.
So now, do you want to hear this?
You know what I got this week, which I can't believe we didn't talk about?
Wait, you didn't
email.
Say if you wanted to hear
of
this
course I
not.
Of course
yes.
I do. But I wanted to also tell you that I got an email, the headline of which was, you, Jill, me, and ice cream at the beach. And I was like,
yep.
Sold. Where can I vote?
Wait, what does that mean?
It was a fundraising thing that Biden was trying to get people to donate. And if you donated, you got entered for a chance to have ice cream at the beach with him and Jill.
And I have been to his favorite ice cream place at Rehoboth, or at least what they say is his favorite ice cream place in Rehoboth. And it's really good.
So,
like, there's an insane
I don't know
amount
if it's
flavors.
I don't know if this is still going on, but if anybody's interested, check
Ooh.
It out and give Joe a couple bucks.
I have a better idea. Why don't we spend the entire summer at the beach just waiting for Joe to show up?
That would also work.
Yeah,
eating
the ice cream place. Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
All right, I like
Okay, so we'll see you there. If you donate to Joe and you win, we'll meet you at the ice cream shop. So just real quick, you are voters. You're going to turn up and vote. Please tell your family and friends that they need to come out and vote because democracy is on the line.
Democracy is on the line, people.
Okay, unless they're voting for
the rapist.
Yeah. Then tell them to stay home. Don't talk to them about the election. Don't remind them that there's an election. distract them with something else.
Yes. This is the Democratic policy we want to promote,
yeah, Jen. Exactly. But we are in New York City. Yeah. We have a lot of stuff to do. We have a show to see tonight. So I think we need to get started.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Let's do it. It's the Week in Bees.
This is the part of the show where we talk about bees from the previous week. Today, we're starting with Saturday, April 20th, and ending with Friday, April 26th. See, do you agree that this was kind of a weird bee week?
Yeah, it was a really weird bee week. There are a number of days where I was like, what is Sam thinking? Mm. And it actually started with one of my favorite pangrams of the week, which is Saturday, the 20th of April. Mm. Do you know what that pangram was that I'm talking about?
I know that it wasn't Pothead because for some reason he didn't put Pothead on 420.
Yeah.
I believe it was Lilliputian.
Lilliputian. Yeah. Lilliputian, of relating to or characteristic of the Lilliputians or the island of Lilliput, which would make it capitalized.
Yes, which I believed that it was.
Yes, Jen said capital. Our reader David was like, I don't listener. Know about this.
You
our
know, listener. You're calling David a reader.
Oh, maybe because I read his emails. But
David, of whom we are a reader.
Yes. But it does say, often not capitalized, small, miniature, or petty, right? Mm-hmm. You know what was really weird to me?
What?
Children, never heard of the Lilliputians.
That's husband, very weird.
Never heard of the Lilliputians.
That's not just weird. That might be, like, worthy of divorce.
Lots of adult
men never heard of
adult friends. Many of them never read.
Did they never read Gulliver's Travels?
Never read Gulliver's Travels. And I was really surprised by that.
I am super surprised by that. I feel like Gulliver's Travels is, like, an essential literature introduction to political satire book.
Well, one of my friends was like, really, you need to know like British history satire, like it's not that important anymore. And I was like, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe that's the problem with the world right now, that we need to be reading more British political satire.
I was surprised, I will be honest. But and then I was also like, why should they know this? Maybe this is vintage vocab, Jen.
It might be vintage vocab. Yeah. It might be vintage literature.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is how I feel about it. I feel like I remember the Lilliputians.
Yeah.
And it must have made like a huge impact on me when I read it 10,000 yeah. years ago. So, and like I have some vivid
visions
pictures in my mind of
it's
the Lilliputians.
It's like the Oompa Loompas and the Lilliputians.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know who the Oompa Loompas are. You should know who the Lilliputians are.
Do you think there's some people? Well, everybody knows Oompa Loompas because they keep putting out new Wonka movies.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which is also wrong. But
well, I thought you liked the newest Wonka movie.
Yeah, the new one was okay.
Okay.
I mean, none of them are as good as the original.
None of them are as good as the original.
Come on. So I have to say, I have not read the book, like I said, in a million years.
Right.
It is totally possible that it is outmoded and offensive to people. Like, I don't know because I haven't read it. I don't know.
Huh. There was another
word that day on 420. The other pangram, how would you pronounce it?
Nuptial. Even though it's not spelled like nuptial.
Right. I would normally pronounce it nuptial as well, N-U-P-T-I-A-L. When I typed it in, and I think you had a similar experience of typing it in and being like, huh, why do we say it with an extra vowel sound in there when right. there is no extra vowel sound? And then I looked it up, and while it said that people do pronounce it that way, that the actual pronunciation is supposed to be nuptial.
Nuptial. And that's it in a nutshell. Right? Doesn't that sound like that?
Yes. Maybe that's what the original phrase was.
All right. We have talked about 420 forever. And that wasn't even, that was a day I didn't mind. There are 2 days that I was like,
okay, which days did you mind?
Okay. Well, I think the worst day by far this week was Tuesday 423.
Okay.
Right? Tuesday 423 had two words that I will just say, why were you there? Do you know the words I'm talking about, Jen?
I totally know the words that you're talking about. Now, I will also say that one of these words I was very happy to learn.
Yes, and that word I'm sure was numbat.
It was totally numbat.
Okay,
N-U-M-B-A-T.
Let's talk about numbat. Okay, now I, on this entire week, I will say I did the bees for approximately 4 seconds in the morning, got to Genius and said, all right, done.
No, I got queen every day.
I had no time this week. The only days I got queen was that real easy day, I want to say. The rest of the time, I just did it real
quick.
But
I mashed my way to numbat.
Okay. Well, so numbat, when you told me it was a word, mm-hmm. I said, oh, numbat, that's a word? Isn't that derogatory? Because I figured numbat meant like you're like a nitwit. Yeah. Yeah. But that is not what numbat means.
A numbat is a marsupial.
Yeah.
Also known as some sort of anteater. Did you know that?
No, but it has that crazy tongue. So
it has crazy tongue. People, if you have not looked up numbats, look them up. They have tongues like nothing I've ever seen before.
I am not sad to know the word numbat. And they're striped.
They're pretty cute.
Yes, but this goes with the same list of why. Why, Sam? Why? Well, like, why numbat and not Nutria, right. Not
Caracol.
Kawadi? Like,
maybe he doesn't
do Kawadi. Oh, he does Kawadi, but not Caracol. Yeah, that's
not
right.
Caracol.
Like, I just don't get it. Why numbat? He loves the bats.
I don't know. But here
Did
is the question.
Did you know that it was an animal when you mashed your way
no,
to it?
No, I was okay. Like, what is this? I was like, wait, numbat went in. Because I was seriously mashing everything I could think of. And I think I had taken a first letter because I had no idea. Do you think that we're pronouncing it correctly? Because, and I just want to throw this out there, last week we were talking about bobolink.
Oh, right.
Which we pronounced bobolink.
Because it's spelled
because
bobolink.
Because it's spelled bobolink.
And it's kind of fun to say bobolink.
Totally fun. Like, say it. Bobolink. But my mom and Sarah.
Listener.
Our listener, Sarah, both told us that it's actually pronounced.
Booba.
Bobolink. Or
like,
bobolink.
Baba. Baba. Yeah. Bobolink?
I My
think
mom said
is.
To put hyphens in it. Like, bobolink. Like, your husband,
bobolink. Bobolink. Sorry, I'm singing. I'm not really going to be done for a while. I do like that. That made me happy. And they're songbirds. So do you think, I was singing songbirds like, maybe they go, bobolink.
Yeah, but you could also sing,
bobolink.
Bobolink. Bobolink. Bobolink.
People say they don't show up to this podcast for our singing, but I don't
get why. Oh, they
totally
do. So, anyway.
But numbat, that's the only way you can say it.
No, you can say numbat. Or numb, the word numb, the B is silent. It could be numat.
Oh, my God. All right. The other word was tantalum. And
it was.
That is some chemical word. Never heard of it.
Guess what? We're going to talk about that later.
Ooh, all right. All right. I will hold off.
Hold
Very
off.
Very exciting. But we can agree that it is not a word we knew before.
That is correct.
Wait, how did you guess that one?
Because I also took a first letter and somehow I mashed it.
That's a weird one to mash.
I know. I was shocked at myself. I was shocked at my mashing abilities.
All right. So I've got one more day that I wasn't cranky about the whole day. I was cranky about one word in the B.
Which was it?
And this is on Monday, 4/22, when knocking or knock, N-O-C-K, was in there.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm cranky about that is because it's the kind of thing that one of my children would get because they forgot how to spell knock. And there's no way. So
with a
K-N-O-C. Did you know what that was?
No, and I guessed it.
Yeah, so knocking, for anyone who does not know, or knock, has something to do with archery, right?
Yeah, it is a notch in the bow that holds the string.
Right. So actually, my son.
Or to make a knock.
Do you know, both of them have their archery merit badges, and one of them, Gus, is pretty well into it. So I don't think I actually. Oh, you know what? I did. I asked him if he knew it, and he didn't know.
Oh, you know what? You can make a really good joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
An archer with a bow.
It's not a really good joke.
That same day.
Though I am laughing, so.
That same, it was funny. That same day, Monday, 4/22, cock and cocking were in, which,
yeah,
again, leads me to believe that Sam was listening to our recent episodes.
Wait, he included cock before?
Yeah, I know, but we've recently were talking about, like, cock a lot.
As we always are.
So I was thinking that Sam was listening to us.
Wait, I have to ask you real quick, because you said you got Queen. What made you guess knock without a K?
I don't know. I just was like going through words that rhymed,
gotcha.
And I put it in there.
Okay.
And I was like, okay.
Conk and conking were in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just conk
and conking were in there.
I like those words.
Do you know
they make
riff?
Me happy. Yeah. That's been in there before.
I think
We've
it's been in there
discussion.
Before too, but I find that to be a kind of a weird word.
It is. It's a stack as of hay
yes.
in the open air. How often do you see a rick?
I don't see them ever. Maybe it's a word like if you're on a farm that you talk about ricks a lot.
Maybe a lot.
I,
a
I have
lot.
An uncle named Rick.
Yeah.
But
as many people
you know.
Do.
So I want to say one more. Sunday 4/21, because this was really interesting. The word denim.
Yeah.
last week my mom said to me, you should talk about the word dungaree on your show.
Did she say that out of nothing?
Out of nothing.
Vintage vocab.
Yeah.
She was like, it's vintage vocab. And she was like,
I think that might be vintage vocab. But so I said, okay, I'll look it up right now because it's never going to be in the B. It has an R and an E in it. So I looked up dungaree, and it actually comes from, I believe, the name of a town in India where that textile originally came from.
Okay.
And as I was looking up dungaree, I came across the word denim, which happened to appear on Sunday 421 after we had this conversation.
Right.
Do you know where denim, the word, comes from?
I do not.
Denim.
French town?
French, from Nîmes.
So are denim and dungaree different?
I think they're similar textiles, but they're different.
Wait, so, but when you were young, didn't people always just
say? Yeah, we use them interchangeably.
Ha! But now you think they're different.
Right, like your dungarees. They're denim.
Sure, they're not the
they're
same.
Your jeans.
I bet they're the same, but like they arise in different in two places.
I think they're very similar fabrics, but that are slightly different.
I think jeans in general are a super weird fabric.
I think that they're a great fabric. I love jeans. I wear them all the time.
But like dungarees to me suggest like somewhat uncomfortable jeans. Do they not to you? Like I feel like Lee dungarees.
Yeah. So dungarees say cowboy to me. I imagine cowboys wearing dungarees.
Yeah, I kind of think like old times.
Yeah.
As opposed to denim. But denim is definitely cowboy. Like they have denim and diamond parties.
That's true. I don't know. Okay. But I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. That it's like that named is. After a place.
Yeah.
So that was good. And that same day, Dum Dum.
Oh, like the lollipop.
No, but it's not.
It's not the lollipop?
It's not the lollipop.
It is the lollipop.
That's capitalized unless you're a Lilliputian and sometimes you're capitalized and sometimes you're not. But Dum Dum, I assumed that it was like dummy, like you're a Dum Dum.
Which it is.
Which is kind of rude. I don't think you should say Dum Dum to people.
Oh, it's so cute to be a Dum Dum.
But here's the thing. That's not actually what a Dum Dum is. That kind of a Dum Dum has a hyphen in it. This kind of a Dum Dum, D-U-M-D-U-M, with no hyphen, is actually a kind of rubber bullet.
I did not know that, but I'm really thinking of all the times I could call you a little Dum Dum. It makes me so happy. Try not to be a Dum Dum.
Oh, but see, that would be like endearing if you called it to me that way.
It makes me so
hey,
happy.
Dude, that was in there that day too.
Aww.
You know what was not in there that day?
What was not?
Dudded.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand why.
Because he used to count dudded.
He used to and he stopped?
And he stopped.
Wait, why would you stop?
Because dudded I remember when I first found it and I was like, dudded? What the heck is dudded?
But
and,
it
then
is.
I, and then we realized it had to do with clothes. Like,
right,
dudded up.
Dudded out.
And then I was like, okay, dudded. And he suddenly stopped including it.
That's super weird because it's totally a reasonable
I checked it out on Spelling Bee Solver to make sure.
See, once again, I feel like somebody else had it.
Makes no
week,
sense.
But.
You feel like that every week. You
I
basically
so
think that he doesn't have a job. Is that what's happening here?
I feel like different people are doing the same thing. Yeah, I think it's very confusing. I don't know.
Do you think it's trippy?
You know what I would like to take a trip to?
You would like to trip from Wednesday, 424, to...
The Word of the Week! This is the part of the show where we take a closer look at one word from the previous week's puzzles. Jen, did you bring your word research to New York City?
Of course I brought my word research to New York City.
Yay!
And I already gave you a hint about what we're talking about this week.
You did, actually.
And by hint, I mean I told you.
Yes.
We're talking about
tantalum. I'm not going to even have a tantrum. Because I don't remember what tantalum was. Something chemical?
It is something chemical. In fact, it is an element.
Oh,
it is
it?
The 73rd element on the periodic chart.
I guess that suggests a little more that I should have known it.
The abbreviation is TA, and it falls between tungsten,
which is
an element that I know, and another element that I have never heard of ever before.
What is that?
Hafnium.
Hafnium.
H-A-F-N-I-U-M. Hafnium.
Okay, so hafnium, hafnium would be a perfect pangram.
Ooh.
Sam, if you count a tantalum, I want hafnium. And when I can't find it, I'm getting real mad.
So tantalum, and I will read you the Collins definition because I think that was like the most comprehensive, is a gray, hard, rare metallic element occurring in columbite and tantalite. And usually associated with niobium.
What? I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
what is niobium?
We're going to talk about that. And it is a really pretty special metal, I guess you would say. It's not a precious metal. That's why I called it a special metal, because it is super resistant to corrosion by acids, and it's extremely ductile. It has a super, super high melting temperature.
Right.
It's super scratch resistant. It just has all of these like great properties. Yeah. Okay. So it ranks below diamonds.
Very, very fine.
Very, very, very good metal. Very good metal. It ranks below diamonds in scratch resistance, but it is above gold and silver on the hardness scale. So, yeah, it's a really good element to
It's a good element.
It's a good, good metal. You can do lots of good stuff with it, and people do a lot of good stuff with it. So it is used in a bunch of chemical, dental, surgical things, pins that are like in your body when they like put your bones back together. It's also used in nuclear reactors, for missiles, electronics. It's used in electronics a lot. And it is considered a technology critical element by the European Commission.
Interesting.
So that's all important to know.
Okay.
And it is non-toxic when taken orally.
Why would you
so
take it
orally?
So if
anybody ever swallows tantalum by accident, don't worry too
much. Why do you know that? And why would that?
Because it came up as a question when I was researching it, and I was like, that's pretty good to know, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So that is what tantalum is, and it's super scratch resistant. It just has all of these like great properties.
Yeah.
Okay, so it ranks below diamonds.
Very, very fine. Very, very fine.
very good metal. Very good metal. It ranks below diamonds in scratch resistance, but it is above gold and silver on the hardness scale. So some people get tantalum rings,
like
wedding rings and stuff. Yeah. So if you decide to stay married to Bob and not divorce him because he didn't know Lilliputian, you decide to renew your vows because you've forgiven him for not knowing Lilliputian.
Maybe he reads it by then.
Maybe he reads it, and then you decide to get tantalum rings together.
Bob reads quite a lot, people, just so you know.
He does. He is especially... I'll let you tell.
Especially if we're talking about Infinite Jest.
If any of you ever meet Bob in person and you want to, like, make a friend really quick, talk about Infinite Jest, and you'll be like this.
All right, back to tantalum.
Okay, back to tantalum. There are also tantalus monkeys.
What?
I don't know why they're called. Well, I
kind of
guess why they're called.
Are they super scratch-resistant monkeys that can be boiled to a very
They're really cute. They have, like, those big white furry things that look like crests, but on the sides
of their
heads.
Guys, I like that this is live
because
Jen is like miming the crests on the monkey.
They're like on the side of the head. They're very cute
monkeys.
Only
we had video.
They look a little bit like gibbons, but they're even cuter than a gibbon.
Even cuter than a gibbon.
Even cuter than a gibbon.
What?
So the real reason why I wanted to talk about this word is that this element was discovered in 1802 by a Swedish chemist named Anders Ekeberg, who found it in mineral samples that were from Sweden and Finland. He discovered it, and then either like the year before or the year after, I don't remember, this guy, Charles Hatchett, scientist, discovered a substance that he called columbium.
Okay.
Okay. So I mentioned columbite and tantalite. Those are, they named the rocks that they found it in after those things.
And is columbium like tantalite?
Well,
in terms
here's
of what
the
it
thing.
Can do? Okay.
It is like it. And at first, they thought they were different elements, but then they decided that columbium was basically the same as tantalum.
Were they on the periodic table first, or were they not, because they thought they were the same element?
I don't know whether they... It's all very confusing.
I don't even know when the periodic table started. Do you?
I don't know either. We'll have to look that up.
Oh, my God.
Housekeeping.
All right.
Basically, for a long time, people were going back and forth about whether columbium and tantalum were the same element or not.
Okay,
and eventually they found another element that they called niobium, which I mentioned. And then they decided that niobium and columbium were the same. So there's all this confusing stuff about what's
columbium
what.
Columbium goes in the niobium, the niobium goes in the
columbium.
Yes, okay.
So,
who's following this? Nobody.
Nobody. But here's what's interesting. Ekeberg named this element tantalum after Tantalus, who was a figure in Greek mythology, who I think had a father who was a god and a mother who wasn't a god or something like some
Zeus,
like mix.
Zeus
was like,
went and did some guy.
Like a Hercules type guy named Tantalus. And Tantalus did something to get the gods angry.
They always were.
Right. Nobody's really sure what he did, but he did something bad.
Yeah.
And they sent him to stand in a river and they had a fruit tree growing over his head. And here's the thing. He was really hungry and thirsty, but if he tried to go down to the water that he was standing in, it receded so that he couldn't reach it. And if he tried to reach up to the fruit to eat it, it went up too high for him to reach it.
That's
so
awful.
That is where we get the word tantalize.
Interesting. Wait, so tantalum doesn't come from tantalize. Tantalize comes from
tantalize comes from Tantalus.
Very interesting.
He wrote, "This metal I call tantalum, partly in allusion to its incapacity when immersed in acid to absorb any or to be saturated."
Right, because it's very acid resistant.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So it's like it's a little bit strained.
It doesn't seem like it was tantalized.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit strained, but that's where he got it from. He was like, it's a thing that doesn't take anything, just like tantalus can't take anything
don't
up or down.
This is random. I just have to say, like, that you're a chemist, right?
Yeah.
And you also get the job of, let me name this thing. That's great. Like, why would chemists be good at naming things after Greek mythological figures? And do you think chemists now are mad that they probably don't get to do that often? Like, everybody in the 1800s
got to name everything and I don't get to.
Yeah,
maybe. Well, maybe that's why there was so much, like, debate over whether it was these other things were elements or not, because people were like, I want to name something.
Right.
So, niobium is named after Niobe, who is the goddess of tears and was a child of Tantalus. So Niobe...
How does he have any kid if he's, like, standing in a river and not eating?
He must have had it before he stood in the river. Or, you know, maybe they let him do other stuff while he was standing there. He just couldn't eat or drink.
Right.
Niobe is the daughter of Tantalus, and niobium is like tantalum.
Very weird.
And they're all related to tantalus and the word tantalize, which I thought was fascinating.
Can I say this real quick?
Yeah.
I am sure. Oh, no, but it's niobium.
Yeah.
I was just going to say niobium definitely has to have been in the beat, but niobium probably not.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I don't think I've seen it. But it's possible that he just didn't include it, right?
Well, I'm just saying, if you have tantalum.
Yeah.
Like, is every element included immediately? Just curious.
I don't know. We're going to have to do housekeeping on the periodic table.
Definitely.
Because I don't know anything
also,
about
Also, I'm going to have to learn, like, you know, you have, like, bee, like birds of the bee. I'm going to have to do, like, periodic tables.
Well, it's true. But you know what? He includes some stuff and he doesn't include other stuff.
Okay, we're going to have to talk about
it.
Yeah,
we'll talk. This is a whole conversation.
Okay, sorry. Back to
anyway,
tantalum.
So I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it led into all these other words that are related to punishments that the gods gave to people, like Sisyphean.
Right.
Like pushing the rock up the hill. Echo was a punishment.
Right.
Lycanthropy was another one.
I don't know that.
It was named for the myth of Lycaon, who was a human transformed into a wolf as punishment for cannibalism.
So what does lycanthropy mean?
Lycanthropy means a delusion that one has become a wolf. The assumption of the form and characteristics of a wolf held to be possible by witchcraft or magic.
Real quick, is that your unbelievable word? Because it fully fits.
I like the delusion that you've become a wolf.
I like that it's named. Like, is there a name for the every delusion one might have? Like, do you think that must be true? Like,
if
you are deluded that you're a rabbit, is there a word for that? If you're deluded,
yes, we call that. Wait,
Bugs Bunny-ish.
Oh, I was gonna say Benicula.
That's if you're a. That's if you are a vampire.
A vampire bunny.
Do you think kids know Benicula?
We have to ask Sydney that. Anyway, I thought that was all pretty incredible.
That is incredible. And half of those words were unbelievable words.
Unbelievably, really unbelievably, C and I picked the same word last week. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, go back because we reveal live that we picked the same word.
That was insane.
Yeah. Could it happen twice in a row?
Cannot imagine it will. One, because... unbelievable words are words that we happen to have seen outside of the bee and that are picked totally at random.
Yes.
But two, I can't imagine will because I actually got my unbelievable word this week from you because I forgot to bring one. And
because
we're live.
Only one of us brought their homework to New York. And obviously that person was me.
Yes, exactly. So, Jen, what's my unbelievable word this week?
Well, I'm going to tell you my unbelievable word, and then you're going to tell me my unbelievable word.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Right.
My unbelievable word is deliquesce.
Deliquesce. Is that when you are questing for a deli in New York.
And oh my gosh, yes.
Awesome.
That's perfect. Deliquest means to melt away.
Oh, deliquest. It's how, like, come I don't know that?
Like liquefying. And it is often used in biology. So there is one meaning, which is to melt away or dissolve in the course of growth or decay.
Okay, wait. I just want to say, fungus. You said deliquest like it was pretty, and deliquest like
yeah, it's kind of gross.
Things going like, ah.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. Like fungi becoming slimy. But it can also be used in botany to mean to branch and define divisions, like leaf veins. And okay, that's pretty.
That's prettier.
In chemistry, it's to become liquid by absorbing moisture from the air. Certain salts do it.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, really interesting, right? And then it can be used in a metaphorical sense. Like one of the examples was teenagers deliquescing in 90-degree temperatures.
Yeah, that's like what, like, the really annoying teacher, you know, says.
And I just wanted to tell you that in Merriam-Webster, they had this love poems thing from, I don't know which Valentine's Day, but some Valentine's Day, and they actually had a poem about deliquesce. And the poem was called The Dissolve. And it went, Valentine, you make my heart deliquesce.
So doesn't that seem like it's rude? Like, you make my heart melt.
No, melt.
Except that liquefy. It kind of means decay.
It depends on how you think. But, well, maybe it's to a Valentine that you didn't like.
All right.
So anyway, this was another good one. This was from dictionary.com. My thoughts started to deliquesce and slide through my brain like melting cheese.
See, that is appropriately gross. I like that.
That was written by Zoe Williams in The Guardian in 2018.
I like that. That seems right.
So, see, would you like to share my word that I gave to you?
Yes, but I picked it, I will say.
She did.
It is horripilation. Dun, dun, dun.
Horripilation.
Is it horripilation?
Yeah.
Horripilation.
No, horripilation.
Horripilation. Horripilation.
No, because if you say horripilation,
I'm kidding. I was trying to say it both ways. Well, because I'm thinking of it as horrible, because it's goosebumps. Dun, 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 a bristling of the hair of the head or body.
You know, some really gross deliquescence could give you horripilation.
Dun, dun, dun. Suddenly, he was swept by horripilation. The goosebumps swept up from his ankles all the way to the nape of his neck, where the hair stirred and tried to lift. And that's from Stephen King, who I'm pretty sure we talk about every week on this.
Stephen King is like the season 5 TNB
unbelievable
staple.
Words for shark. Thanks, Stephen
Maybe
King.
Maybe we can get Stephen King on the show.
That's like a dream. Did I tell you that we went to his house in Maine? Like,
you
we
did.
Went to the
did I tell you that I heard Stephen King give a commencement speech at Vassar?
Live? Oh, I would like
right after his car accident, and he basically just said, hey, you're all gonna die, so do something.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah. Exactly.
Did that cause
it was pretty wild. No, it was pretty wild.
It was wild. Are you talking about something insane like the wild card? In the wild card, we talk about whatever we want.
And I want to talk about trash words.
And I want to talk about teen words.
Luckily, we have some help today because Janice and Sydney are here with us.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
All right, so we have talked about some words that we were wondering, like, are these words that, like, teenagers wouldn't know? Are these words that are trashy words? Like, we've talked lots of times,
they're not trashy words. So anybody that's listening, that has not heard Janice on the show before, like, where have you been?
Yeah,
like,
come on.
Get with it. Right. Janice comes on every season to do trash words. It's her very own segment.
Trash words with Janice Mosca.
Trash words are words that in the past we have defined as words that are words but really shouldn't be words. Like, Sam shouldn't include them because they're just not good words.
And teen words, it's more that I was wondering, I was actually thinking of words that only teens would know. But since we didn't prepare for that, let's ask her a couple of words that have come up. For example, in this episode, we just talked about dungarees. Sydney, do you have any idea what dungarees are?
I think so.
All right. What do you think dungarees are, Sydney?
Are they like not pants? Are they pants or are they like, is it like a jumpsuit type? Like, what?
Oh, that's
interesting. I think they must be vintage vocab.
Yeah, I think so too.
Am I wrong? Yeah.
Well, dungarees. All right. So, Mom,
dungarees are jeans.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. And I think it really is talking about the material.
Yeah.
So that you could make a jumpsuit, you could make a skirt. But basically, it's denim. Yeah. But it's like okay. What old people used to call like jeans, right?
Like my dungarees.
Like, and I think when they started, they were just really for work, right? Like
see, Levi's dress. That's what I have to say, my mom, when she asked about dungarees, she was like, oh, is it because people wore them on a farm and they had to deal with dung?
Oh.
Which is not true. No, because I think it comes from the name of the place. It comes from a place in India. But she made that connection.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. And we had another one today, too, that I was wondering if Sydney would know about.
Well, we wanted to know about, do you know about Lilliputians?
Pardon? Wait, say it again. Slower.
Lilliputian.
No, I don't think I've ever heard that word before.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Jonathan Swift?
No.
Have you ever heard of Gulliver's Travels?
No.
Have you ever heard, you are in company
with my entire family, Sydney, so okay, do not worry about it. Mom, are you surprised that everyone, including Bob, had no idea about Lilliputians in my house?
I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
Do you think she should get divorced?
So the Lilliputians are little people from a book called Gulliver's Travels.
Okay.
But it's one of these things, it's like if today somebody was like, I have no idea what Oompa Loompas are, and you'd be like, what? How do you not know what Oompa Loompas are, right? It's the same idea. So no worries. It's just, it was interesting to me that nobody had heard of it either.
Yeah,
they don't read it in school
anymore.
It's a book
that you used to have to read in school.
Yeah.
Oh, because
it's
going to read it now.
It's, you know, marks some... And maybe a beginning or a first of something.
Yeah, of political satire.
It's an important book.
Yeah. Wow. And the Lilliputians, he goes to the island of Lilliput, and they're like little people.
But they come together.
But they're tiny.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They like get them. They like tie
them
up.
Get the giant.
I thought it was like you've seen the Smurfs.
Yeah.
You know when the Smurfs like tie down Gargamel.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. I just don't think I knew that's what they were named
or what they were from. Excellent.
I think we had another one that we wanted to ask her about.
I think so too.
Maybe it'll come back to us. Let's get into some trash words because Sydney can weigh in whether they're trash words too.
I love it.
So again, these are words that were in the puzzle. They are words, but like probably they should not be words. You're going to tell us whether you think they are.
Okay. Now, Mom, I actually already know what you think about one of these because in the train to New York City, my mom goes to me, Hal, do not know what brickbat is. So before you weigh in on whether brickbat's a trash word, Sydney, have you ever heard the term brickbat?
Never.
I had never heard that either.
I think
it's vintage vocab, but Mother.
Yeah, I had heard that word. I think it came up a lot. You know, talking about the political situation, maybe the 60s, when people would fling brickbats at each other, which meant just words, insults.
Oh,
and,
or
actually, there could be actual missiles to make a missile out of a brick, which you're just like, seriously? Right?
That's cool. Bring
but
that
I only
back.
Really knew it as flinging insults.
So you say not a trash word.
No, just a very old-fashioned word.
So you think it's vintage vocab?
I do.
My mom said she didn't know it, and she said it was not vintage vocab, but I think she was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it's because she didn't know the word.
Well, yes.
Right, which is interesting. Maybe because Bonnie never throws brickbats, and you are a brickbat appreciator.
Yes, I am.
I make a difference.
I really think it's a word that also may have appeared in literature.
Oh, I interesting. Know it and my way. Mom doesn't read literature.
That's
so
not
true. I was just kidding. I was, I was pretending that Janice was throwing a brickbat at my mom.
No, not at all.
Never.
Never.
And so the phrase that we learned was bouquets or brickbats. That you can either give people like compliments or you can give them insults.
All right, I have one that I really thought was a trash word this week. Okay. Or not this week. Maybe it was from like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Theming.
Theming?
T-H-E-M-I-N-G.
What does it mean?
I think it's a trash word. It's taking a noun and just, you know, making it a verb.
Oh. Well, theme is a verb. You can theme something, right?
Yeah,
but something can be themed.
Like the example that we gave
was
Pirates of the Caribbean is a themed ride at a park.
And you could be theming your ride. I'm with you on the trash words.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like that.
That's going too far.
Everyone here says
trash word. Love it. Love it. Love it.
I have one for you that was in a while ago, but it was this season. So it was within the last couple of months. And we actually made a trash word video for it that people can see if they go onto our social media. Ecotage. ECOTAGE.
What do you think it means?
Well, about ecology, but ecotage.
Come on, think of the word. Take it apart. She definitely thinks it's a trash word. If it's a word, she doesn't know.
I don't think it's a trash word necessarily.
Well, you don't know what it means.
But I don't know the word.
So what sounds like?
Have you ever heard that word, Sam?
I don't know, but I may have an idea. I don't know.
What do you mean?
Does it mean like making something more eco-friendly or like making something? Like, I feel like
that would be a guess, but let's say, da-da-da-da, it's sabotage. Da-da-da-da, it's sabotage. Oh no, it's ecotage.
I don't know what you're saying right now.
Ecotage is sabotage.
I understand, but where's sabotage? Is environment?
No, sabotage. It's a Beastie Boys song.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sabotaging the environment.
I kind of like it.
Sabotaging the environment.
Yeah, I mean,
no, I thought it was sabotage on behalf of the environment.
Yes, like, that's what it is.
Like what they did with Greenpeace.
Oh, okay. Like, so, like, I'm
going to chain myself to this fence.
Yeah.
Right. Or in theory, like, where you blow up an animal research facility so they don't hurt the animals or something like that, right? Like,
I think it's just a new word that's entered.
I don't think it's new.
I don't think you have any idea what it is. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it a trash. Like, no one knew what it was. It's a silly word. It's like trying to make a word out of a word that doesn't exist.
I would like it if it had a different meaning.
You want it to be, like, a positive
thing. No, not necessarily, but, like, I feel like it would be used more, like, if you're not being environmentally conscious. Mm-hmm. You can say that someone, like,
is doing ecotage, right. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that, too. I would like it if it was, like, a corsage, but it was ecotage. like a grassy corsage.
Speaking of which, here's another word. Here's another word that happened this week or 2 weeks ago. Meadowy.
Meadow with a Y on the end.
Like, that's very meadowy. Yeah. Look over there. That's a meadowy area. What do we think about that?
Well, I thought it was real enough that I tried it and got the word, but I don't think it's legit.
You say trash word?
I think it's
a word made up.
Like,
all right.
When people add Like a Y. Like, I think you can use it, but I don't think it should be an actual word.
Trash word.
Back bit.
Oh, Jen is on a tear about this one.
Definition.
So you know when you're a backbiter, like
when you're doing
sabotage.
Stabbing someone in the back. It's like
that's an idea. Yeah.
Oh.
And you did it before,
but you bit them
so
in
you
back. I kind of like it. I think
I am kind of thinking of like fake teeth. Chompers.
Again, I have no problem with backbite. I just think back bit in the past tense is really weird.
It is.
It is very weird.
Yeah, I really
so maybe it's not a trash word, but it's like.
Stupid word.
Yeah.
Could be a good word.
Yeah. I feel like it only works if you have like
I think it'd be better to say backbited.
Backbited.
Back bitten.
You've been back bitten.
Or back bitten.
I've been back bitten.
Yeah, like back bitten. That one's better.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
Back bit, but back bitten.
Vanpool?
That's a trash word.
I don't like when they didn't go in the carpool.
You went in the vanpool.
Oh, that's terrible. I do not like that.
So the kids aren't saying vanpool.
Are they saying gene pool? That's one word. Dungaree pool.
All right, then. Trash word.
I definitely think that's a trash word.
All right. One more?
Yeah. What about boink?
In what context?
Great question.
I think it's an okay word. And I feel like I've seen it in cartoons where the character goes boink.
Okay.
Boink.
Got it.
I remember your discussion.
It depends. Yes, normally, except for when I've watched The Good Place. And then that's not what.
And
that
what
means.
Does it mean?
Oh, so you teach now what that is. That is the primary definition of
you
boink.
You got it.
So that was in The Good Place?
That's where I heard it.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, but that is what it means.
And that means 100%. That it's pretty current then.
Yeah, that means it could
be a
tour. We
thought it was only from the 80s.
I don't think people really say it, but Kristen Bell is not.
She's
funny.
It. Yeah.
Like, she said she could shake hands.
Oh, because they don't say curses in The Good Place.
Yeah. Wait, what is the word curse?
the word you would say instead of boink.
The F word.
Think about it. Yeah.
Well, no, I was thinking
Jen
the
was
S
like
word,
so upset.
And I was like, why?
The S word, which Sam would never include because we don't have S's. Right.
I think people would use it now, like at least people my age, I think would use it now in like an ironic or what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But not like in a legitimate way.
Okay.
What's funny is I always think boink is like boinking. Boink, boink, boink,
right,
boink,
right.
Which
that's where my brain first went.
Yeah. All right, guys.
It
makes
you see
me
the guy with the springs on his
right, exactly. Well, that's actually where it comes from. You're boinking the mattress. That was the idea.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's how Cecilia.
I didn't make that up.
I read
this.
Specifically about mattresses.
Yes, 100%. That's where it
where
came
did you
from.
Read that?
I told you about this last week on the show.
You told me
dictionary.
It came from some 80s television show.
Yes, and I told you it came from Cheers.
Yes.
And it also came from Stephen King, like
yes,
everything
you
does.
Did tell
and
me
in
that.
Both cases, it was boinking the mattress.
Oh,
it was still
I thought that you made that up. I thought that you were just being funny. Now I think you were less funny.
I'm still always funny, Jennifer.
Well, thank you both for being here. That was enlightening as always.
Yes, that was very helpful. And that's it. That's it for this episode of Tom, Tit, and Baobab.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. We hope you'll do it again next week. We drop a new episode every Monday.
In the meantime, be in touch. You can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, or email us at tomtitandbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, words you'd like to know about, and whether you own dungarees.
Now, I want more teen words. Give us some suggestions, listeners. And if you like T&B and never want to miss an episode, subscribe or follow us.
Even better, leave a rating or a review. This helps other word nerds and puzzle lovers find our very indie, very funny podcast.
Bye, everybody. Bye,
Sydney.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.